Then I want you to see another thing about Jesus here, and that is in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. He came to Nazareth and he continued in subjection to Joseph and Mary. And thus he kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor with God. So this pleasing God began right there at the age of 12. He says he kept increasing in favor with God. God was delighted with these little things I mentioned. And this other thing we see here is that he was subject to authority. Now that's something which man does not like. Nobody likes to be subject to authority. You think your two-year-old likes to be subject to your authority? The two-year-old is compelled to submit to your authority, but left to himself, he'd like to break away from your authority and do what he likes. It's there. Where did it come from in your two-year-old? It came from you, parents. We were all like that when we were 2 years old. And where we get it from? It came from Adam, who didn't want to subject himself to the authority of God, who said, don't eat from that tree. He said, no, I don't want to submit to that authority. We've all got it. Now, where did Adam get it from? He got it from Satan, the highest angel. You know, just by the way, we don't know what his name is. It's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible. Lucifer is not his name. Lucifer is just a Latin word, which means morning star or something like that. But whatever his name was, he was the highest angel in heaven. And he became Satan only because of one reason. Only one reason. He did not want to submit to God's authority. If you want to know the root of sin, the origin of sin, it's here. I don't want to be submitted to anybody's authority. Have you got that spirit? You've got the root of sin in your life. That's how the devil became the devil. And he infected Adam with that. And every child of Adam, you and I and our children, have got that. I don't want to be subject to anybody's authority. They go to school and they rebel against their teachers. They go to work and they'll rebel against the people who work in the factory bosses and start trade unions to fight against the authorities and in the world. And in politics, fight against government and go on marches. It's there all over, and it's more and more in our day. And as I've repeated, I've said many times, Jesus submitted to imperfect authority. That's how he pleased the Father. There is no perfect authority in the whole world. No parent is perfect. No elder is perfect. Your boss, by the way, is not perfect. But why is it you find many people who are willing to submit to an imperfect boss? Year after year after year. But if an elder does one mistake, they question that. How can I submit to him? He did this. Oh, really? What about your boss who does ten times worse things than that? How do you submit to him? I'll tell you. Because you get money. And you lose your money if you don't submit to your boss. But if you don't submit to the elders, you don't lose any money. Money is the driving force in your life that makes you submit to imperfect authority day after day after day after day, even though they make you work overtime and do so many things, unrighteous things, and don't give you a promotion, and you still submit because of money. But when it comes to elders, you have some questions. When it comes to your parents, you say, well, they're like this, like that. Well, if you think of Joseph and Mary, I'm sure they were imperfect. I'm sure they fought with each other. I have no doubt about it. All married couples, at least in their early days, fight with each other. And if they are not born again, they'll fight with each other till the end of their lives. And even some born-again people who don't have victory over sin keep on fighting till the end of their lives. It's not God's will. I believe if you get victory over sin, you'll stop fighting at home completely. Zero. But Joseph and Mary were not in the new covenant. They didn't have grace. The day of grace had not yet come. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit. So they were imperfect. And I can imagine many of their decisions were imperfect. And their talking to each other was imperfect. And sometimes they got angry with Jesus as well. But he never judged them. He submitted. And the Father was watching this for 30 years. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know how much God values those who submit to imperfect authority? Not an imperfect authority you have chosen. No. I was in many different churches. And as long as I was there, I submitted to imperfect authority. But when I realized that they were teaching things which are not in the scriptures, I left it. That was not rebellion. No. There I was submitting to God and His Word, which they were contradicting. Now, you can't do that in a marriage, and you can't do that if you're a child at home, because if God's kept you there. But you can do that. If you're in a church, you can leave it. If you're in an office, you can leave it. But you shouldn't stay there and create problems. I don't believe in someone who stays in a church and keeps on, you know, festering rebellion and criticism and all that. I say, if you're not happy with something in CFC, I have one bit of advice for you. Leave this church and find another one. And leave it tomorrow. Find another one where you won't have any problems. But don't sit and criticize authority. God will never bless you for it. He will say about you, here is one who I don't know whether he's my child, is with whom I'm thoroughly displeased. That's what he'll say. Here is a person with whom I am thoroughly displeased. You want God to say that about you? So I learned from Jesus that one thing that pleased the Father was His submission to imperfect authority. And He wasn't criticizing them behind their back. He wasn't talking to His brothers and saying, see what Dad did, or see what Mom did, see what these elders do, or see what that person does. He wasn't like that. The Father would never have said that He was well pleased with him at the end of his life. These are lessons for us to learn, brothers and sisters, if you really want our Heavenly Father to say about you and me, I'm well pleased with you. And I believe this is the reason also why God cannot commit spiritual authority to many people. As you know, I've had a little bit of experience now in working with elders in many, many churches, CFC churches. And I see a difference in them. I see elders who have come to eldership very quickly and have never in their life been subject to any authority in their life. They came up very quickly and they never had anybody rub them the wrong way. They had a very easy way through life, and whatever authority they submitted to anywhere was very pleasant and easy. They were never broken. And, yeah, well, in some churches we have to appoint them as elders because they are the best of the lot. You know, a one-eyed man is king among the blind. So where there are blind people, you select the man with one eye and make him an elder. But you find that people are not broken in their life. They are never successful in exercising authority as elders. God never backs them up. They may be able to preach, but God doesn't back up their authority, because they themselves have never learned how it is to submit to imperfect authority and be broken. So if God allows you in a spiritual situation to face injustice from maybe elders, just jump up and praise the Lord. Leap for joy like Jesus said, oh Lord, this is great. You're giving me an education here. Instead of complaining and grumbling and going around telling other people what you're suffering and all that rubbish, just leap for joy and say, Lord, you're giving me an education here. You're breaking me. And you'll be surprised one day, maybe a few years from now, maybe 10 years from now, God will give you spiritual authority and you'll have a wonderful ministry.